This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Perriello is the congressman representing Virginia's 5th District, and he is live in studio. It's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
Absolutely. Thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it. We always look forward to you having you joining us on the phone from your office, and it's we're delighted that you could be here in person. And the occasion for your visit, as I understand it, is you're in town to speak to the Jefferson Area Tea Party. Is that right?
Well, in town for a bunch of meetings today. But yeah, this evening I've been invited out to the Jefferson Area Tea Party's monthly meeting and accepted the invitation. So we're looking forward to a good conversation out there. I always enjoy sitting down with the Tea Party folks. We don't always agree, I think it's fair to say, but I really appreciate the ideas they bring to the table and the exchange, and expect nothing less this evening.
Now, Congressman Perriello said he would love for y'all to call in, and that number is 977-1070. I am hoping I will not have to talk much here over the next half hour, so I invite you listeners to host the program for me at 977-1070 with your questions for Congressman Perriello running for re-election here in Virginia's 5th District. And maybe we could start there with the election coming up in November. The GOP recently released a survey showing Robert Hurt with a 6-point lead. But this is considerably a much smaller lead than the 17-point lead that was released just 2 weeks ago by Survey USA. Of course, you know, media folks, we love these polls and we love to talk about them. Of course, it's months until the election. But what are your thoughts now about this, your campaign and the election coming up, your message for voters and how it's going right now?
Well, I'm really excited about the 2 months ahead. You know, for the last year and a half, these corporate front groups have spent $1.5 million against me on attack ads, many of them filled with false information, and I've been more focused on actually trying to get things done. But now we get to have a battle of ideas, and I think what we see from folks is they're not happy with many of the things in with the economy right now, and I'm not either. And when people find out what I've been doing to try to support manufacturing, construction, agriculture jobs, getting the focus from Wall Street back to small business, people get really excited about that. When they just hear all this stuff that is thrown into the negative 30-second spots, it goes the other way. So we really feel excited about the 2 months ahead and the enthusiasm on our side, and the fact that independents at the end of the day aren't looking for people who want to hide. They're not looking for people who want to run away or just sort of check a box of someone else's ideas. They want to know, what's this person's convictions and are they going to fight for it? And I think one thing people in this district have come to know is that I'm a fighter, and I will fight on the economy for everyday folks, for working and middle class folks. I'm willing to take a lot of heat from insurance companies and electric utilities and others to make sure that this nickel and diming of the working and middle class stops. And I think that's what folks have come to see from me, and I think that's how this thing will play out.
It's 12 minutes after 5 o'clock. Congressman Tom Perriello is live in studio. Your calls at 977-1070. You mentioned the economy, the pocketbook issues certainly driving this election come November. And we're seeing around the country that Democrats aren't faring well. And yet, as I have pointed out this week on this program more than once, when the Democrats took control in Washington, the economy had already tanked. And yet we seem to see the electorate rushing to put Republicans back in office who, in my opinion, tanked the economy in the first place.
Well, I don't think you see the electorate doing that. While they're pretty upset with Democrats, if you actually ask them, they're even more upset at Republicans still and their handling of the economy and the deficit and other issues. So I think the Republicans' goal in this election is to hide and try to have people forget that they're the other choice. And when you put the two choices on the table, I think, you know, if folks look at the individuals in this case, myself and Senator Hurt and Jeff Clark, Senator Hurt's raised people's taxes. I've cut their taxes. He's pledged to raise more taxes on small business. We want to cut taxes on small business and middle class families. So even some of the traditional, you know, Republican issues that they play on, Senator Hurt's just on the wrong side of it. He's just got a pattern of raising taxes and breaking pledges. So, you know, I think when people look at us as individuals and see what we're for, you know, I've fought incredibly hard against expanding these bailouts as well as expanding some of these trade deals that I think have cut out the working and middle class jobs. I just fought to close the tax loophole that actually rewards companies for sending American jobs overseas. And Senator Hurt said that he would have supported that loophole staying in place and has taken money from what Lou Dobbs has called some of the biggest outsourcers in America. So, you know, I think when it really comes down to it on jobs and the economy, the Republicans can't hide. But I don't want this just to be about the fact that they got us into this mess for the last 8 years, because I think the problems go deeper than either party. I think both parties have some of the blame, and I think it goes even earlier than the Bush years to when you saw the middle class start to really get suffocated, get squeezed out in this country. So I think what a lot of particularly independents are looking for right now is someone who says, you know, here's how we're going to get out of this mess, not just who got us into it. And unfortunately for the Republicans, all they seem to come up with is the same strategies. That's why President Bush is relevant, is that when they're really pushed on their ideas, if it's anything other than just saying no to ours, they're pretty much just saying the same things over again that we know didn't work. So, you know, again, I think people are looking for solutions. They're looking for hard work and looking for a way to get America out of this. And I think we can. I still think we can outcompete the world. I think we can make things and build things in this country, whether that's in the new energy economy or heavy manufacturing, construction. A lot of what I push for, last year was to make sure we had a really strong summer building season in our construction sector. And I knew housing starts were unlikely to pick up. So what can we do? We can build infrastructure and we can renovate the building stock that we've already got. But unfortunately, with the ability to block things in the Senate, all of these efforts, we had five jobs bills heavily focused on construction and manufacturing that all died in the Senate with 100% of the Republicans blocking it. So it is still relevant in terms of this recovery because they've stood in the way of these things that could have given us a really strong building season.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Barbara is with us. Barbara, you're on with Tom Perriello. Go right ahead.
Boy, thanks. Congressman, I am so much in your corner. I am very proud that you are my congressman, and I have no doubt that you're going to be reelected. But I wonder why you are meeting with the Tea Party people this afternoon. These are the people who are going to be in Washington with Glenn Beck's crowd. They talk about the hallowed ground in New York, but they are having a demonstration, whatever you want to call it, on truly hallowed ground. I was in Washington in 1963, for the I Have a Dream speech, and they are going to desecrate it. And I wonder why, I know it's politics, but I wonder why you would lower yourself, and I'm using the word lower advisedly, to meet with these people.
Barbara, let's give Congressman Perriello a chance to respond to that, both why you're going to speak to the Tea Party folks this afternoon, the Jefferson Area Tea Party up at the Arby's on Route 29 this evening at 6 o'clock, and also your thoughts on the rally being hosted by Glenn Beck. Sarah Palin will speak. This is day after tomorrow, the anniversary of the Martin Luther King speech and the March on Washington, and Glenn Beck has told reporters that his goal is to take back the civil rights movement in America.
Well, Barbara, I appreciate your kind words at the beginning of that. First of all, I think it is any time you're looking at a movement or a group, particularly in its early stages, I think it's important not to paint everybody with the same brush. I've been very clear that I think there are people who are affiliated with this who are racist and hateful, but I think it's wrong to impose that on everyone else who's associated with the movement. Many of the people that I've met with in the Tea Party movement in my district are good, serious citizens with serious thoughts, and as I've said to them before, I have a lot more sympathy for people who dissent passionately than those who simply don't care, because things matter in our society a tremendous amount right now, and the political stakes are very high. I think within even within the district, there's not agreement over what the Tea Party stands for, and I think you have folks who are motivated by again many of the problematic things that you've talked about. I think there are also folks who are more libertarian, some who are coming from more of a faith space, some who are more sort of Ross Perot common sense types, and I think there's a fight for the soul of that movement right now, and that's not necessarily my fight, but I certainly represent many people who are part of this, and I think it's my responsibility to meet with them, and not just as a matter of political due course, but also to listen and to hear where there are places we can agree and to understand that disagreement where it's there. That is not an excuse to not call out things like racism or hatefulness or complete distortions of history where they occur. But again, I don't think the right approach to that is to shut down discourse or to put everyone into the same category on that. Again, there are lots of good people out there who disagree, and I think that's important in reverse as well, that those who start to talk about the Obama crazy left agenda also are open and deliberative about listening and hearing where arguments are made, and I think we're a better country when we do that.
And your thoughts on the rally on Saturday? Glenn Beck has, of course, called the president a racist and said that he and Sarah Palin want to take back the civil rights movement in America.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think when you come across a huckster who's trying to figure out how to make himself millions and is willing to do anything in the, you know, blazing that trail, I don't know how much you engage and validate that. I think we've had some debates recently about the distinction between whether one has a right to do something and whether it's a morally appropriate thing to do. But again, I certainly respect people's right to assemble, and we'll leave it at that.
We've got a line open at 977-1070, a line open for you to join this conversation. You have a question for Congressman Tom Perriello. Frank is on the line in Charlottesville. Frank, thanks for your patience. You're on with Congressman Perriello. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Congressman, I would like to speak for a moment. Let's jump ahead and assume that you are reelected, and I think you had some fine ideas for the 5th District and for our country. But being a rookie, so to speak, would you not be taken more seriously if you were to win the election and be able to negotiate better? Yeah, I'd just like for you to speak for that. I'm not exactly sure how Washington works, but I suspect that would be true. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the question. You know, I'm new to politics. I didn't come up through, the legislature and the state. And so legislating is something I've been new to. And so far, I've found that I've been able to be effective by showing that I'm someone who takes conviction seriously. Some people go to members of Congress and try to get their votes by offering them this sort of tit for tat. People know if they want my vote, they've got to come and make the argument on the merits, and they've got to show that they're serious about what this is going to accomplish. And I found that whether it's with the White House or with leadership, that is something that has put me in a position to be very effective, not just for this district in a local sense, but for the kinds of national policies that I think are key to this district. Whether it's new energy policies or small business policies or manufacturing and infrastructure, or whether it's some of the specific places where on broadband and electric grid technology and advanced battery technology, we can make some great public-private partnership investments in the area. In terms of my effectiveness over time, you know, I certainly think this has become a national race, and there are a lot of eyes on it, and I think there are a lot of folks around the who are looking at this, and I think obviously I'll be in a good position and in a stronger position if I win to continue to fight hard for this district and for policies I think that make our country stronger. But again, I think, you know, people have come to associate me with not the Republicans or the Democrats, but with this new generation of conviction politics that tries to focus on what's right, what solves the problem, not what's easy. And I do think that puts me in a good position to help make sure that this area is represented, but also that this idea of saying, let's not avoid the tough debates. As a younger member of Congress, I'm sick of either party coming up and saying, well, we'll campaign on the tough issues, but then we'll legislate on symbolic issues. No, if we're going to be strong for the next 20 years, the next 50 years as a country, the next 100 years, we've got to have the courage and have the backbone to step up. And I think one of the things that I can do come January is make sure that we keep the eye on the big issues, things like balancing the budget that are not going to be easy. And it's easy for both parties to campaign, but we've seen both parties break those pledges when they get up there. We need people like me that are going to hold the feet to the fire and say, look, this is one of the challenges of our time, and we need to meet it. And I think I will be in a position to be effective on that.
Frank, thank you for the call. We've got all lines of folks trying to get in here, so we'll ask callers to ask a quick question here. We've only got a few minutes left. Joe waiting patiently. Joe, go right ahead, my friend.
Thank you. Congressman, if the health care bill is so great, why doesn't it apply to Congress?
Thanks for the question, Joe, because it does apply to members of Congress. This is one of the myths out there. I thought that was important. I fought for it. Members of Congress absolutely will be buying on the same exchange as everybody else. I think that's right, and I think that is a statement of our confidence in this being an effective and affordable plan.
Let's go to Jerry. He's in Albemarle County. Jerry, go right ahead. Jerry, you with us? We lost Jerry. Let's try Steve. He's in Charlottesville. Steve, go ahead.
This is Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gary, go ahead.
Okay. Congressman, thank you for coming on the air and being accessible, and thank you for coming to the Tea Party meeting tonight, even though I can't be there. Quick question. I have received three mailers from your office that say they are printed and mailed at taxpayer expense. Two of those mailers I've sent back to your Charlottesville office asking to be taken off the mailing list because I don't prefer to receive these. How can I get these mailers to stop coming to my house? Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Gary, and we will try to get you off of that list. We, you know, as you may know, we have the lowest budget of any of the offices in any of the Virginia congressmen. We do try to pinch pennies, but we think communicating with constituents is important. And some people prefer telephone calls, some people prefer mail, some people prefer to be left alone, and we will continue to try to get the right approach to the right people over time, and we'll try to make sure you get off that list.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perry. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Steve, you with us?
Yes, I am, yeah.
You're Steve in Albemarle County. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for coming in and doing this. My concern with the health care program that's been in the works is each administration is going to bring its own leadership to it, and I think a lot of the proponents who are in favor of the Democratic Party right now would be horrified if they thought George Bush were running it, and vice versa. I think a lot of people, you know, control is going to go with each administration, and why should we have faith in the government to run it well?
Well, a few things in that question. One, I think that it is dangerous when we put too much faith in the executive and in regulators. One of my problems with the Wall Street reform bill was that we left a lot of things very open-ended. And if you have, you know, strong folks in there who are making sure that we don't have systemic risk, then it'll work. But I don't think that that's a very good strategy. If we look at whether it was the SEC with Wall Street over the last 8 to 10 years or Mines and Mineral Resources with BP in the Gulf, I think it's clear that just assuming that those in the regulatory or executive branch will take control. I think with the healthcare bill, what we tried to do was get the balance right of trying to make sure that we were setting basic rules of accountability. Insurance companies can't kick you off if you're a paying customer. They can't cap you out. They have to give you pre- and postnatal care, things like that. Your kids can stay on till 26 without micromanaging some of the details within the exchange, and that's where these private companies, forgetting the government, a lot of this is actually just competition between private companies. There is no new government plan. We are simply saying there's going to be this competitive market where private companies can compete. So I think trying to get that balance between making sure basic standards of decency are there. So if you're that middle-class family, you're paying your premiums and your kid gets sick, you know that the insurance is going to cover it because that's the purpose of the insurance. So I think making sure those basic rules are there without necessarily micromanaging the details is the balance we tried to get with the health care bill.
We got time for one more caller. Margie is in Albemarle County. Margie, you're on with Congressman Tom Perriello. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was in Washington before the health care vote, and I went by Perriello's office, and I was amazed at how little his representatives knew of anything that was in that health care bill. And I was with a representative, a group of doctors going around. I'm not a physician myself, although I'm from a medical family. And there's never been a mention by your leadership of how many medical people were there who opposed this health care. And I was just amazed at your office, of the lack of knowledge of what was in it.
Well, you know, the largest associations of doctors all supported the bill. The majority of people in the medical community and the nursing community supported the bill because they know that most days they spend more time fighting with insurance companies than meeting with patients. That's not to say everyone does. Others have strong opinions in the other direction. But again, I think this was something where the closer people were to the healthcare system, whether it was the hospital administrators or the doctors, the more likely they were to support the bill, because I think there was an understanding of just how unsustainable the status quo was. Just taking Medicare as an example, if we had done nothing, Medicare would have started to go bankrupt in 6.5 years. We've extended solvency out at least 2 decades. So this is a system that is important to people, that people paid into, that was about to go bankrupt, and we've extended that solvency. So I think people who are within the system do understand just what a disaster was looming if we didn't act. And therefore, even if they didn't feel we'd come up with the perfect solution, they did feel like it was a massive step forward over the status quo.
Congressman Tom Perriello, he's speaking tonight at the Arby's of Forest Lakes, up 29, to the Jefferson Area Tea Party. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.